way behind.
I see.
Financials. I have to make, create, formulate a financials summary, including an income statement and a balance sheet and all that crap that goes with it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so there's not a set fee for an affiliate to pay.
Right. Well, there is. There's not any fee that the affiliate would pay.
The affiliate pays the other dude for national sponsoring.
No. The affiliate doesn't pay anything. I make, you know, Big Country USA makes money by being broadcast on the affiliate station.
Okay, skip that. I got that. All right.
Okay.
I've got to figure out where you get money, how much money you get, multiplied by how many stations or affiliates or whatever, so I can formulate a 365-day financial plan.
Okay.
So let's start with 1 year.
Okay. What's the question? Am I just telling you how it makes money?
I need to know how much, how often, times one, and then how many you would presume to get in 365 days, your first year. It's obviously not January to January.
Right.
So, it's going to be your first fiscal year. Okay. So, why don't you tell me about what you expect as far as revenue is concerned for the first year. What the hell? Why? Don't be so loud.
Well, I don't really have an answer for that. I don't know.
Okay, I need you to make it up. You're going to have to make it up so I can make it up.
Okay.
Okay? These are just projections, what we'd like to see.
Okay.
Okay, so yeah, give me a...
Okay, so the revenue that we want to generate is off of a first-year corporate sponsorship, which the price tag would be roughly $50,000 per sponsor.
What type of sponsor is this? Give me an example.
An example would be a Western Wear company or a national auto parts store chain or any potential advertiser who would benefit and who would target listeners that listen to country, you know, new country music. So the corporate sponsorship would be $50,000. Of course, they would pay a portion of that, a percentage up front, probably, you know, 10% of that up front, with the understanding that in the beginning there is no benefit, but that revenue is then used to market the product and get affiliates and take care of the, you know, the incidentals and the expenses that the business would have to build the show, to build the company up to a point where there was affiliation. And the
what would they expect in return for that?
So what they would gain in return is initially there would be a lack of their advertising. So they're paying for advertising basically. In the beginning, there wouldn't be a lot of advertising for them. But with the understanding that as the show gains momentum and gains affiliates, they're ultimately going to be getting advertising for a lot less than what they would have to pay had they come on board with an already established business.
Okay.
So their cost per listener is going to be a lot lower than what it would be had the show been established with, you know, X number of affiliates out of the box. So they're willing to invest risk capital and be a sponsor to help get the thing off the ground and then get more than they paid for later.
By way of advertising grant,
yeah, it's a contracted deal for a year.
Oh, it's 1 year.
It's a 1 year, it's an annual contract.
I was gonna say, well, that's not forever.
No, that's not forever.
So how much would, I don't know, Chrysler pay?
Well, if it's the first year sponsor. Okay, so after the first year, with the projections being that we would have at least 30 affiliates in market sizes that had over 500,000 people in each market, then the second year for Chrysler or anybody else, Wrangler, Lee Jeans, anybody who wanted to advertise, would be probably a $100,000 annual agreement. Okay.
So are you telling me that you're not going to take any more money from any national advertisers?
No. There's room actually for 4 national advertisers in the first year.
But wouldn't there be room for 4 nationals any given year?
Yes. Actually, there could be room for more than that in other years because here's the thing. In the show, there are 4 commercial breaks. Then there's room for 8.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
So, but you're maxed out at 8?
For the first year, yes.
What difference does 1 year make to the other?
Because...
Is there any more commercial breaks the second year?
No, because the thing is, the inventory, I'm giving bonus inventory the first year, so I'll run more commercials for those clients the first year in addition to giving them a better price. The second year, all of those avails, all of that inventory will be sold at, you know, each contract will include, you know, a particular number of spots to run in a particular number of weeks the show will run.
So are you saying in the first year that there is only 8 spots for 8 individual sponsorships, and then after that there's going to be like 16?
Yeah, I mean, it could work out that way. Yes. Because as the product grows and we have a larger listener base, we can then start dividing that airtime up.
But you can only divide the airtime so much.
Actually, so there are 4 commercial breaks in each hour of the 2-hour show. The first 2 minutes belong to the network, which is us. The second 2 minutes belong to the affiliate, where they can run their commercials. Corporate sponsorship, we can run 1 30-second commercial at each commercial break for each commercial sponsor. So there's room for up to 4 corporate sponsors per year. For the first year. The second year, we'll sell the first and second hour separately. So there will be room for 8 corporate sponsors in the second year. And each one of those sponsorship positions will be valued at around $100,000.
So the object in the second year is to get 8 sponsors.
Yes, 8 corporate sponsors.
Instead of 16? They're 30-second spots.
They're 30-second spots. One.
Thank you. Then quit letting it aggravate you. Okay, so you've got 2 minutes.
Let me cookie.
So you've got 2 minutes. Are these the ones you want?
What,
there's tons of cookies over there.
Well, let me see. What do we have?
Peanut butters.
That's what I want.
Okay.
You want shortbread?
No.
No. Oh. Yeah.
So that's 16 national spots an hour.
Up to 16.
Okay. is 2 hours.
The show is 2 hours.
You keep giving me 16 when it's actually 32.
If you break them into 30-second commercials.
Right.
But they can elect to pay more and get a full 60-second.
That's why I just asked you and you said no, they had
no. Most clients, most sponsors only have 30-second commercials produced.
That's what I asked you.
So, yeah, we'll go with 32 then.
Because you're not going to run the same sponsor. They only get one commercial per show, per two-hour show, right?
No. They get to run a piece of inventory in every commercial break as corporate sponsors.
There's no possible way you can do that.
Why?
If you have 16 affiliates, 16 national people.
Yeah.
You've only got 16 slots in an hour, and that's at 30 seconds.
Okay.
You just said that they won't want to run at 30 seconds first.
All right. They probably will do 30 seconds. National spots are generally 30 seconds.
Okay. So you are maxed out on your 1 hour at 16 national companies.
Yes.
So, and that's if they only run once during that hour.
No. Okay, let's figure it this way. Each 30-second spot runs at each commercial break. That's four times an hour.
Which is 2 minutes an hour, Tom.
It is 2 minutes an hour.
You only have eight.
Okay.
So that's a quarter. If you have 16 national companies, you can't run them. There's not enough time.
Okay.
So let's
figure out what we can do.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Because you need to know where this maxes out. Because you've run out of time. If you're allowing them commercials at each commercial break, then you only have room for two national sponsors. That's it. If you're allowing them to run at every single commercial break for 2 hours long, you only have room for two sponsors.
No.
Yes.
Because there's
four. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Four.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Not 16, not 32, nothing.
Okay, right. Four. Okay. We're on the same page now. Okay.
There. Okay. So your first one slid in under the door at $50,000.
Well, all first-year sponsors pay $50,000.
Well, what happens if you get all of them in the first year?
It's only good for their contract's only good for the first year.
Oh, and then it goes up to $100,000 per year.
Then it goes up to $100,000 per,
including the original one.
Yes.
Including the original.
Yes.
Sponsor.
And at that price point, they will actually get less inventory.
Which one are you eating? You've been off that your diet lately. What's going on?
I don't know. Just that one.
Oh, this one.
Yeah.
I thought you were pointing to this one. All right.
See, here's where I'm not really sure of the logistics. The first year, I'm going to give them everything I can give them. The second year, I'm going to have more leverage and more popularity to say, no, you're not running in every commercial break.
Well, but that's, you know, part of the incentive to bring the sponsor on is giving them, like, a full minute.
Giving them everything, yes.
No, don't give them, no, because then you don't have, then what happens when you get a second one on board?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, no, I paid blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
You can just as easily slide that minute into your show.
Yeah.
They would never know.
Yeah.
But if you give them too much in the beginning and then start backing them out because you've got national people coming on, they're not going to want to do that.
Yeah. I can operate the cookies.
Right up against the microphone? I'm sure you can. So, we're only looking at getting one sponsor for the first year.
Most likely. Maybe two.
At $50,000.
Yeah.
Well, hey, let's lowball it. That's fine. You'd rather lowball it than overshoot it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe two.
That's what I'm saying. We'll leave it at one.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just about got that entire 50 grand spent.
Right.
Okay. That's gone.
Oh, yeah.
You can only have three.
You've been eating all day.
I'm not the one that has diabetes. Now what?
I have pills for that. I have meds for that.
Two cookies, 15 carbs. 8 sugars. Ain't bad. Weird, but not bad. Okay. So first year, I got your expenses. What you'd like to see anyway.
Yeah.
First year, including CRS.
Mm-hmm.
So now we got a 150 grand sponsor.
Now, that sponsor is the only one that is locked in for the whole year at that rate. Now, if the second sponsor comes in 6 months, their rate's not going to be $50,000 because there's going to be 20 affiliates.
How do you know that?
We're projecting.
You think you're going to get 20 radio stations in the first year?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I say 10.
Okay, well then 10. I think we'll have no problem getting to 20 radio stations in the first year if the marketing is done right. If this $50,000 is allocated and spent correctly.
So do you charge the national advertisers per how many affiliates the show has?
No, it's listener based. So what you have to do is you have to look at the market that the affiliate is in and what's the population of their market. And then you look at their average quarter hour listenership and their ratings. Each station gets rated. There's a lot of math involved with that. But each radio station gets rated twice a year at least in the smaller markets and four times a year in some other markets. And you have to look at the ratings when you get the radio station, and they'll give you their rate card. They'll give you their ratings. And you look at the average quarter hour listenership. The higher that number of average quarter-hour listeners they have, the more that's worth in terms of the sponsorship.
So whoever's in charge of the national advertisers has to keep a running total of listenership for your affiliates?
Yeah, when a new station signs on,
that's a yeah.
It's a sort of.
Okay.
Okay. When a new radio station signs on.
Because that's pretty detailed.
It is detailed. When a new radio station signs on, they have to submit what their Arbitron ratings are for average quarter hour listeners. Okay. That's what the sales, the price, the value, the rate, if you will, is based on is total cumulative quarter hour listenership. Doesn't matter if it's 2 markets or 15 markets. As long as it's that number that counts, the average quarter hour listeners.
Okay. Just a side note, are you going to track that as well as the other person? Because aren't you the communicator between the affiliate and the person providing the national sponsorship?
Yes.
Okay, so he's in charge of charging the proper price for the sponsorships.
He's the guy that says, he goes to the client and says, this show has X number of average quarter hour listenership. This is what it costs to be on.
So he's going to be representing Big Country USA.
Yes. He's going to be selling and marketing for us.
And is he your style?
What do you mean?
Is he somebody that you could see representing?
Absolutely. The person who's involved has made, has had several projects that have been hugely successful with Western wear companies.
I wanted to check. Secondly, again,
And he specializes in selling something where there's nothing to sell, with the idea that it will sell later.
That's right. But you still have to check up on him.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
You need to know his formula.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you know how to use it or not,
mm-hmm.
doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I can probably figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But, you need to check up on him and make sure he's not skimming $25,000,
$50,000.
Because what happens if you get a whole bunch of affiliates that are in high volume markets, you know, versus the low volume markets, and the listener base is higher at 10 affiliates than what you normally would see,
mm-hmm.
and he's charging them $100,000 and you're only seeing...
That's why there's written contracts direct with the advertiser, the sponsor. Those contracts, you know, there'll be a contract that states how much they're paying, and he's going to have his set amount that he gets, 15% most likely, mm-hmm. that he gets to take for his efforts.
So he gets that off the top no matter what, whether we're paying anybody else or not. He gets his
15%.
That's nice to know.
Yeah.
Okay. So
actually, it's 10%. I'm sorry. It's 10%.
All right. So if we do get a sponsor that's willing to give us our first 50, he gets 10% of that.
He gets 10% of that, but he, yeah, yeah.
Okay. It's gone. It's gone already then. It's completely gone. So don't be looking to spend it.
No.
Any more than what you've already told me?
Yeah. No.
All right. So, you may get another one in the first year. You may not. So, let's just estimate that, you know, going into year number two, how many you hoping to have at least two more by then, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first quarter of the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. After CRF next year.
Mm-hmm.
You're hoping to have two more at $100,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, of course, we're going to start paying everybody.
Mm-hmm.
There's no land, office equipment, nothing like that, right?
Right.
Okay. I just want to verify. Okay. So we've done all that. We've talked about it. And what about the following year?
Let me back up. In 6 months... after there's some affiliates and there's a concrete program to sell to another sponsor, if another sponsor comes on at 6 months, they're not going to get the same $50,000 annual deal. The price goes up with each new affiliate. And it's also easier to sell to new affiliates once you've got some leverage, once you've got some presence in the market.
Okay. Is it $100,000 or not? You're starting to run circles.
Okay. I'm not sure exactly what the number is after this $50,000 here.
Well, let's say somebody signs on in 6 months and you have, I mean, they're not beating down the doors. You've got one affiliate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's say you gain one affiliate a month for 6 months. Let's say you have six affiliates in 6 months.
Okay.
And somebody wants to sign on. Surely that those six affiliates does not justify $50,000 more.
Actually, yes, it does. It does, because that, again, you got to remember that it's expected that this is going to grow very large. You know, the projection is that and absolutely that's worth $50,000. Absolutely it is.
Six affiliates,
where they get to run their number of commercials every single week.
But what happens if it's six affiliates in... I don't know, in markets 130 to 210.
Well, the average quarter hour listenership is lower, and that's not as much value as you would have in a medium.
Because again, the affiliates can sign on for free.
Yes.
So why wouldn't they all sign on?
Absolutely.
But what happens if they're just low market?
Well, that's what we have to deal with. We'd charge lower rates.
Okay, so let's say the second national comes on at 75.
Okay.
Okay, let's be fair about it.
Okay.
And let's say the third one by then is 100.
Okay.
Let's say the next three of those are 100.
Mm-hmm.
And then we pop up to 1 1/4.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? That, you know, let's be reasonable about
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've got to start paying
mm-hmm.
the people.
Mm-hmm.
Yourself included.
Mm-hmm.
Which means, you know, we probably should include a software mm-hmm. and software and printer upgrade and stuff like that for printing.
Mm-hmm. Or we just get a company to take care of it and we just send them the money to pay the checks. You know, there's companies that do that. That's what they do. They make paychecks and you just pay them. Or we could do it ourselves in-house. It depends upon...
Why would you pay somebody else to do that?
Well, it would depend upon your availability and who we had available to do to work for the company. Or maybe it would mean hiring somebody.
But you only have like 4 people working for the company.
At this point. But when we start getting into that kind of money and paychecks being involved and taxes being taken out on people and that sort of thing.
Oh.
You see what I mean? That's well beyond my ability. Well, maybe that's what it is.
At least for the first couple of years or something. You said this one has an ability to print checks, right?
It does.
But I bloop. I've never blooped. Ew. Nasty. All right. Enough. So, year one is one. Year two, we got 2 more. One at 75, one at 100. Year three... I'm thinking by year 3 it ought to be busted up pretty big, right?
Well, and you've got to remember that revenue on the air is not the only way that this business makes money.
Can we start with one thing at a time? Hold that thought.
Okay.
Okay, I've got to get the national.
Yeah.
I have to do a 5-year plan.
Okay.
Okay. So by the time the middle... of year 3 rolls around, Big Country USA should be pretty widely known at that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
They should be completely open at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So you should be maxed out on national.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere between year 2 and year 3, we max out to 16.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. So year 3, year 4, and year 5 is going to be 16.
Mm-hmm.
Sponsors. For you. Everyone who signs up later is going to have to pay a larger fee.
But there's a limit.
Okay, so it does cap out.
It does cap out.
What
because,
are you capping out at?
Well, I think $120,000.
Okay, I was going to say, because people aren't going to spend it so much.
Well, the thing is, it's buying in bulk. You know... It's not the cost of what it would.
Okay.
With national syndication, it's not the cost of this commercial on this radio station at this price. So 2 would be double and 3 would be triple. It doesn't work that way. It's based entirely on quarter hour listenership, and each additional adds to that to a point, and then it becomes not worth as much once you get beyond a certain point.
I understand.
Okay.
I understand. Okay. So I'll just increase these national sponsors on a percentage base then, because your listener base is going up by a percentage.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll figure that out. Now... I don't know how you feel about this. Kick it around a little bit. But Big Country USA doesn't specifically... The title does not specifically have to be country music. The words in itself, Big Country USA, they call this the Big Country.
Okay.
Okay. So when you decided to build another syndicated radio program,
mm-hmm.
you could still list it under Big Country.
It would be an entirely different name.
Well, then you need a company name.
Mug Media. It all comes under Mug Media Solutions Broadcast, Mug Media Broadcast Services.
Okay. So this is actually just a product. It's not a business.
That's right. It's a business under the umbrella of another business.
Okay. All right. So we'll just leave it as it is. All right. And when do you plan on developing that? Because I should say it shouldn't take you very long to...
What am I to develop what?
Another show. You're obviously not going to wait 5 years and then...
No. I'm going to get this one gaining momentum and then work on the next project. You know, the ideal...
And since you already have the template for the show in place...
Well, I wouldn't host the show. I'd get somebody else to do it. I would take somebody else's show and add it in and make a percentage of what that show generates. Because I can't do 5 shows in different formats. Don't want to do 5 different shows in different formats. You know, and I'll give you an example of that. You had Casey Kasem's Top 40. Casey Kasem created American Country Countdown, but he didn't host it. He created it, and then he got somebody else to host it. Now, the writers wrote both shows, but Casey Kasem only had his name in the credits because he created it and he got a percentage of the revenue. Or he actually owned the show and he just paid everybody a salary. That
at
worked.
That point, he would just pay the host, wouldn't he?
Well, I mean, if you've got a writer that now writes for 2 different shows, you got to pay him.
But
for,
you're the producer, too. So that means that you would end up having to pay somebody to produce it and mm-hmm. pay somebody to host it.
Yeah.
It's not very cost effective. Don't you hate doing everything, being able to do everything?
Yeah, I mean, it really is difficult to...
Because at that point, I mean, you wouldn't get... Even if you owned the show and you had somebody else producing it and hosting it,
mm-hmm.
those are 2 salaries that you have to pay out.
That's right.
Someone has to say, well, is it worth both of those salaries mm-hmm. extra over and above and beyond what you're already paying?
Mm-hmm.
Or can I actually produce both of these shows?
Yeah.
Because you may want to have a closed fist on it because it's a style.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to give away that style.
Well, I think what I would like to do is find somebody else who has an idea that I think is good for a show, let them put it together, I bring it under the umbrella, and I just generate revenue off of their product. They're producing it, they're writing it, they're figuring out how to make it work, and I just make a percentage of the sponsorship money.
Well, if that's the case, then that's not going to get added in here. All right. So, now that that has taken up an hour. All right. Where do I go? Be nice to be able to find charts. To find charts for the industry. When I say industry, that is media industry, radio industry,
yeah.
What is it called?
Broadcast industry.
Broadcast. Radio broadcast.
It'd be radio broadcast because TV is different. Yeah.
Start looking for charts.
What sorts of charts? There's different kinds.
Well, this one here has the size.
It was.
So I need the size of the industry. Let's say over the past, 13 years, 15 years, 20 years. If I could get those numbers, I can create the chart myself.
You probably will have to get the numbers and create it yourself because there isn't a ready-made place you can get that.
Yeah, not a problem. But where do I get how big the industry was?
I don't know if you'll get a 20-year history. you'll see how big it is today.
Well, if they're tracking it today, that means they've tracked it before.
Yeah, but I don't think that information is readily available. Because the company that does that, that provides that information, is a pay-to-play service. You subscribe, and then you have all kinds of access to tools. The thing they give you for free is currently the markets, how many people are in them, that sort of thing. They don't give you a whole lot of history, but the thing about radio is that there's pretty much, by and large, the same number of radio stations today as there was 10 years ago.
So I've got here, section two is the industry. Now we talked about a whole bunch of stuff. Now remember, that was the executive summary. So we had to touch base mm-hmm. on, you know, a few minutes on each little subject, mm-hmm. giving it equal time. Mm-hmm. This is a little bit more in-depth. So it's talking about the radio industry. Where do you never did tell me where to go, where to start looking? Do you know of anything off the top of my head? I mean, I could fish by myself, but if you got, you can give me somewhere to go to.
What size of the industry?
About the industry.
Mm-hmm. Arbitron. Arbitron is the ratings company. That's who generates the ratings based on feedback from listeners. It's all access. He does on his site have Arbitron listings, though.
Well, yes, but I meant the industry in general. Information on the industry.
All access is a good resource for that.
Okay. I may just have to go there.
I mean, you'll have to create a username and password, but that's not a big deal.
All right. Now... Have you looked any more into competitors? Or are you just assuming that there are none?
No, I have looked. There's one other one, and they're not even a competitor. And they're actually getting out of the business.
Like the one you told me about. Mm-hmm. What's his name?
Cafe Nashville.
Thank you. I needed that.
They are moving to a satellite-delivered live overnight show 5 days a week. As opposed to a weekly recorded
live
syndicate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they are aspiring to be a live satellite delivered overnight program that stations can run 5 nights a week.
Isn't that similar to having a disc jockey overnight?
It's exactly what it is, except it's free because the station doesn't have to pay for it in the same fashion as what we're doing. But yeah, there is one DJ, and it's like Delilah. You remember Delilah? Mm-hmm. That was a live satellite-delivered program for 7 to midnight. These guys are going to do an overnight, midnight to 5, satellite-delivered program. They have plenty of competitors. Well, because it costs a lot of money to buy satellite transmitters, and eventually that's...
Well, I didn't know all that.
Eventually, and then you got to have FCC clearance for a bunch of stuff. Eventually, that's what I would, exactly what I'd like to do, is actually I would like to go to a Saturday night, 7 to midnight live presentation mm-hmm. that would be very similar to a Top 40 show called Open House Party that's been running on Top 40 stations for 25 years. And, you know, it's live. Mm-hmm. You know, I would like to eventually move to that.
And, so, because we have to talk a little bit about the future anyway. So, is it, what kind of a year goal is that?
Probably after year 5.
Well, it probably would take a couple years to develop that, right?
Well,
because you'd have to generate enough of resources, financial resources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but now the way technology is moving, between now and then, it will most likely be possible to stream that over IP, over the internet, instead of getting satellite transmitters.
They might have a different medium.
Just like now, we can transfer this program to the radio stations over the internet. We don't have to produce CDs and send them out to all the affiliates anymore.
Right, but the same idea of the 7 to midnight live program on Saturday night.
It would probably be deliverable through IP.
Okay. So you're looking at between 5 to 7 years?
5 to 7 years, yeah.
Where do you see, I'm so sorry, 10. So you got Big Country USA. Has it folded yet, or is it going strong?
I don't think it has. I think there's really a need for that. I think and there's going to come other competitors along. There's going to come other people that see it and want to take it, or think that they might be able to do it too.
Well, the only concern I have is, becoming stagnant and outdated as far as the way you see a show. And you've developed a show, not you in particular, and your writers, they've been in the industry forever, and things change.
Sure.
Are you guys going to continue to try and do what's hip and hot and new to make it exciting, or are you going to leave that and the way it is because you've got a listener base that likes it?
Well, it's like anything else. I mean, there's programmers who always do top 40 radio because it's new and it's bleeding edge, and that's kind of what they live for, like Bill Catcher. You got other programmers that like to program oldie stations because maybe they have a liking for the format, maybe they like the laid back atmosphere of doing it that way. The problem is that what actually sells is new and now stuff. Old stuff doesn't really sell. Advertising wise, it's hard to sell a sponsor on an oldie show. That's why all the oldie stations are disappearing. Now, let me also say, and back up a little bit, that I believe that Big Country USA will probably outlast terrestrial radio.
Okay.
I think terrestrial radio will see a major change before the show ever disappears. But
so, that means that the show has to
evolve into another area, which we'll get to.
Right, but it needs to evolve before that medium is gone.
At this point, terrestrial broadcast, the purpose of getting it on terrestrial broadcast stations is really for nothing more than promotion to get those listeners to come to the website for content on the website.
Sure.
Podcasts, join the country club features, the premium pay for features that you can, because since the first time we talked, and this has changed a little bit, because what I've learned is that for most people, entertainment takes place on a smart device, whether it's a phone or an iPod, or you can't leave that one lone cookie in that end there. Let me have that one. Thank you.
Me too.
So at this point, the terrestrial radio stations, the primary function is to get the listeners from that radio station over to the website to subscribe to the podcast, to listen to content on the website. Because now, IP-based radio or internet-based media and entertainment is very pocketable and portable, just like the transistor radios of the 80s.
And how much are sponsorships? $2, not sponsorships, subscriberships, $2 a month?
99 cents a month. Almost immediately. Within the first year.
And how many listeners do you have up there first year?
Well, there's no number. There's no set minimum. If one person's willing to pay 99 cents a month for the premium content to get texted to their device.
Those pennies can actually build to something huge within 5 years.
Absolutely they can. And that's the plan. That's the plan.
So you're looking at, 2 to 10 million listeners. How is the website going to support that?
Well, it's not all done on the website. Some of it's done through a third-party company.
How much is that company?
I don't know, really, yet.
Okay. Can you tell me what that company is?
I don't know who they are. I've got to research them out.
What they do?
They collect content from...
I've got to put that in there, too.
They take content from your site, and they serve it to your group of people, to your members. So it's really a seamless and transparent process where the listeners never see it. For the short term, the server that I have, that I lease, will do it perfectly and flawlessly. It's not a problem. For the first year, I will have no problem hosting that on my own server and not needing anything from anyone else. Mm-hmm. But then what happens is...
I'm sure it'd be a few $100 a month.
It may.
Regardless of your listeners.
It may, and it may be a sliding scale based on how many listeners you have and how much
probably
serving they
not.
Have to do.
They'll probably have...
Or packages.
They'll probably have something already designed for you. They'll probably design it where it extracts the information... And extracts your customer base and automatically does it. It's probably mm-hmm. just a key hit stroke for them.
You know, 10 years ago, when radio stations began to stream their product on the air, they did it because they could and really for no other reason. It was something new and look, we can do this. And so it just kind of became... Streaming radio was, you know, it was new and neat, but there was no real purpose for it.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, because the end listener basically had to listen to it on their computer.
Mm-hmm.
So the only people that could benefit from that, that could enjoy that, were people that came to visit that station's market and liked the station enough to want to listen to it when they go home. But, well, this all ties together.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Tie it, maybe.
Well, I'm working on it, but I've got to give you the understanding first.
Okay.
So, in 10 years ago, internet broadcasting was completely a novelty, and people were doing it just because they can, but it served no real purpose. There was no real, it wasn't portable. You had to be in front of your computer to do it. But now, because of the smart devices, people can and do listen to radio. Look at iHeartRadio, Clear Channel, and all of these companies that now stream radio stations out to listeners. It's becoming a normal thing for people to do. So the technology is already in place to do this. I'm not inventing any new technology here. And actually, terrestrial radio is in trouble because people are preferring to do it streaming than they are listening to the radio. So the terrestrial radios is really just to promote the website and the features that happen on the website.
So this is a 5-year stepping stone plan to get you going IP and also satellite or whatever. Alive overnight.
Alive, well, some kind of
a live
day part program.
And the funds for that, is that going to be similar to what we're seeing here, pretty much?
If it's terrestrial, yeah, pretty much. Although a Saturday night is more desirable from a client's perspective than a Saturday morning at 8 o'clock in the morning, which is where this show is likely to run, is early on Saturday mornings.
Well, sure. Well, you know, you say your target market, yeah, they're out cruising Saturday night.
More people are apt to be listening between 7 and midnight on Saturday night than they are to be listening at 8:30 on Saturday morning.
Okay. All right, so I guess I'll look up some information on the industry. And because your target customers are the affiliates, but at the same time, you're actually targeting the listeners.
That listen to the affiliate stations.
Yeah, see, this is really weird because your target customers isn't like other people's target customer.
Yeah, it's a third party.
It's a third party target.
Yeah.
And see, that's I didn't understand it in words at this point. You're not actually targeting the affiliates. You're targeting the listener base, because the increased listener base that you have increases the revenue that you can gain from the national advertisers.
That's right.
Okay, but at the same time, national advertisers are a target to you too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're trying to feed one off of the other.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To create a package.
I need you to listen to the program so that this company will pay me money to give their message to you.
So not only are you targeting us because that's how you charge them,
mm-hmm.
but you're targeting the radio stations because that's how you attract them.
That's how you get to the. That's how I get to you is through radio.
Right. That's how you.
For get, now.
That's how you get to the listener is through the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess at the same time they get to the listeners through the radio to the national advertisers.
That's right.
Okay, so yeah, what a weird target market.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that helps me so much mm-hmm. to try and because I have to build this market, and I'm like, okay. Now we talked a little bit about your listeners. I left it, Tom. I did not single out females because that's not true.
Oh, it is true.
There are many.
Go ahead.
There are many different targets. There's also male targets during that age, too.
Mm-hmm.
You're also targeting young working adults.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh out of college, in college, and things like that. So my sentence included all that as a target because it wasn't one specific target you're looking for. It's really just an age group.
Well, there's several people that will listen to the program and that will like the program. But in advertising, the absolute number one desired demographic is the female 25, 54, and 18 to 34 demographics. And we have that covered. They could really care less about the males of the same age group. They could really care less about the over, that's who they want. Female 18 to 34 and 25 to 54 groups. That's the important demographic. That's why I bring that one specifically up, because it does relate to those people, and those people do relate to this product. Yeah, there's other people that are going to listen, too.
Why would they overlap the 25 to 35 twice?
It's two different demographics. Some formats only target to 18 to 34, and the 25 to 54, and others focus on 25 to 54. There is some overlap there.
So your target is 18 to 55.
But it's two different demographics. It's two different advertising demographics. You got to understand advertising to put that together.
So if you have a national sponsor like Levi's, they're going to put out two different commercials, one geared towards the 18-year-olds and one geared towards the 40-year-olds?
No. A company that advertises to people that are 18 to 34 will be one kind of company. Another kind of company who's interested in people who are 25 to 54 but don't care about the younger ones will run a different kind of radio station.
All right. So so we got to why the radio stations were a target for you and why the listener is a target for you. Now, the national advertiser, we just kind of talked about them in general. Can you give me a few minutes to kind of bulk the information together about why they're important and why they're a target for you?
Well, they're important because they provide the revenue for the show.
Yeah,
I mean, that's...
list that is number one.
Well, that is.
Are they number one or are the listeners number one?
Well, there's two different things going on. The listeners are number one in terms of preferences and what you program to attract their attention. But ultimately, and every radio station...
I'm riding on their bait.
Well, I mean, yeah, it is. Because any programmer, any salesperson at a radio station will tell you that the commercials are the only things that are important on the radio station. The music and the content is just filler between the commercials. But in order to attract those people to listen to those commercials, they got to have that filler in there.
Well,
yeah, there is that.
Well, I mean, shoot, we fast forward through our television commercials.
Well, that's right. That's right.
I hate commercials. Of course, then again, I'm not an avid listener. I'm not an avid watcher, so I totally understand what they're doing. All right, so give me... All right, so that's where your revenue comes from.
From the advertiser.
Okay. We like to answer who, what, when, where, why, how.
Okay.
Can you do that?
Well, there's two different things going on here. So you're going to get two different sets of answers, and I'll go through both of those for you. So for
the national.
Right.
Okay.
But there's two different sets of people. There's the radio stations and subsequently the listeners. And then there's the sponsors. And there's two different sets of answers for who, what, where, when, and how.
I'm asking you for the national.
For the advertisers, who's likely to advertise? Is that?
Yeah, because what is really where you're going to go, you know.
The biggest targeted advertisers are. And this isn't in any particular order. Western wear companies, automakers, restaurant chains, like McDonald's, Hardee's, you know, national restaurant chains. Any national company who has identified our target demographic as their customer.
I wonder if the Western wear, like Wrangler, are they in the 500, Fortune 500?
Absolutely.
So you're targeting Fortune 500 companies.
Sure. Yeah.
That sounded great. Okay.
I'm sure they are because they own...
Well, because that Fortune 500 is like this huge list of everything that they're supposed to be, what they go through, all the thousands of employees that they have, all the land they have, all the revenue they generate.
Yeah.
You know, it's just this huge thing.
I mean, I guess realistically, I'm guessing that they are because they are an absolutely huge company. But in the grand scheme of things, I mean, they might not be.
I know you almost have Wrangler on the line, but, I mean, are you looking... You're not going to get somebody like General Motors, are you?
Not out of the bag, no, but they're big into advertising on country.
So you're not talking about a local Chevrolet.
No. That's for them to sell for their audience alone. But everything I sell has to be a national company.
So it would technically have to be like Fortune 500s because they're the only ones that would be big enough to be national.
You know.
In the first place.
Think about when we're watching a cable channel. You know, think about who's advertising. The car companies, McDonald's.
Right, so whether it's franchised out or not, they're still advertising their company.
Absolutely.
Percentages off those companies.
Yes. Well, I mean, the companies get to do local advertising, and part of that's paid for by the national company. But they do national advertising, too.
Okay. All right, so who are they, Fortune 500s? What are they, large?
Well, they're companies who target country listeners.
Okay. Services for advertising through Big Country USA. Okay, that's done. Unless you have anything else to add while I'm looking at this.
I don't believe that I do at the moment.
All right, so you have no competitors. I'm going to find a competitor.
Well, you find one. You let me know. I mean, there are plenty of syndicated shows out there, but really none that are specifically this. You know, there's plenty of country syndicated shows out there.
And we already went through your competitive advantage. It's a short thing. I got that company overview. That was pretty short. They have a thing here called a menu. Well, it's a menu because this is a restaurant. All right, so basically what?
The scope of services offered, I guess.
The scope. scope of services offered. You're just offering a show, but there's got to be more to it than that.
Yeah, there is.
That's all I'm getting out of it. That's all that's coming up to me. So I need to know. We can call it a menu.
Sure.
We can call it a venue. I don't care what kind of you want to call it. You can call it you. Okay.
Well,
I need to know. I mean, they even have I need pictures from your website. You never did send me your logo. I emailed you requesting your logo. You never gave that back to me.
I don't ever remember seeing that email. Where'd you send it to?
So convenient. Everyone's programmed into my thing.
Okay, so logo.
Yeah, I need your logo. So I can put it on the front page of this business plan. And I need, do you have anything on your website that possibly is a click and paste kind of menu thing that gives a list of what services or what, you know?
Not particularly. I mean, I'm working on that part of the website. That would be on the affiliate's website where they would go to see if it's something they're interested in having for their station.
Okay. Just still working. We don't have to have a picture. I just thought it'd be nice to put in. See, it has store layout. That's not going to apply to us at all. I can't even think of how it would, except for it'd be the layout of your app.
The format. Yeah.
Right. So,
the show formatics.
Right.
Which are things like type of music, the energy level, the production, the sweepers and the jingles and the elements that all come together to make it to there's no visual merchandising, but there is, you know, audible merchandising, if you will. It becomes attractive because of the way it sounds and the way it's produced.
So can you run through that? Did you write that down?
I don't need to. I got it. I got that.
Okay. So can you start giving me your menu or your layout?
Well, in terms of layout.
Okay. Whatever you want to call it.
We'll call it for the lack of, you know, in broadcasting it's called formatics. You know.
We'll use that word. Thank you.
And the formatics of the show, it's a high energy.
I'm gonna leave the door open. I'm listening.
Okay. It's a high energy presentation that's very heavily produced with, you know, excitement generating sounds and effects. There's a lot of content. There's artist interviews that are, you know, that are designed to get people to listen to find out what their favorite artists are obviously up to. But it's better to have the artist actually on the show than just, you know, tell what's happening with them, because they like to hear the artist. People like to hear what's happening backstage. They like to feel like they're part of the music industry because they're such big fans. So it's highly produced, it's very exciting, it's very fast moving. It appeals to people whether they have a long attention span or not, because it's continuously changing through the hour. There are different features of the show, highlighting new artists, highlighting new music by known artists. Sorry. We've got Second Listen, which is a second listen at an older song that was never really a big hit, but it's still a great song. You know, there's a lot. It's very, very heavily featured. And there's, you know, all of the jingles and the liners and the sound effects that bring it all together, tie it all together, and make it very produced and very very polished sounding. So that's what we have to offer to the listener. What we have to offer to the radio station, a lot of it is the same. It's very highly produced, it's very exciting, and it's very enticing for the listener, which makes it very attractive for the station to run it, because they get to put content on the air where there otherwise wouldn't be any content other than just music and commercials. So that makes it attractive for the radio station because they get some free content and things that they can turn around and then monetize on the local level by selling advertisements to it, because at that point it's very sellable because they have, you know, they have a product that is reaching listenership. Are you catching this?
Yes.
Okay. For the sponsorship on the national level, there's also several different products that we can offer those guys. We can offer them, you know, we can offer them sponsorship in the form of not only running, you know, commercials in the commercial breaks, but also they can own segments of the show. This portion of Big Country USA is brought to you by Cinch Western Wear. Or now it's time for today's Artist of the Week, brought to you by Walmart. Those are called billboard sponsorships, and those have a value. You know, it all depends directly on the number of affiliates and the number of listeners. But ideally, in the second and third year, you know, a billboarded segment would be worth $5,000 to $10,000. No, you could sell that separately. You could do it as a value added, and you know.
Oh, okay. So you can have 16
commercial sponsors, but then you can have other sponsors that sponsor segments on the show.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Okay.
Yeah, it's called in show placement.
And how much of the show would that credit to? Quarter hour?
Quarter. Well, yeah. Each segment would have.
So it's additional four.
Yeah. Each segment could have its own. Segment sponsor, because
how much was it?
It could be anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000, depending upon how many affiliates the show has.
That's pretty cool. Okay, keep going. Is there any other way that they can? Because you were actually talking about what different things that you sell to the national advertisers.
Yeah, well, they've got, okay, so there's commercial sponsors, there's in-show placement, and then they can also do, you know, they can also provide prizes for giveaways.
Can you tell me about in-show placement?
In-show placement is basically kind of an advertisement that happens during the show in the form of a what we call a billboard. It's a, you know, 5 to 10 second, this is brought to you by this client. That's an in-show placement. Another example of an in-show placement could be, you know, we're giving away, you know, a pair of, you know, a new wardrobe from Cinch Western Wear. You know, that could be an in-show placement where they're giving away product. Another in-show placement could be where Wrangler Jeans has Kenny Chesney as its spokesperson, and they want him to come onto the show for an interview where we would talk about his music, but also we would talk about, you know, his affiliation with Wrangler and what that means to him and what that's done for him. So
that
would be a lot more. That would be, we're probably talking, you know, $15,000 to $20,000 for something like that. That's where the show gets where the sponsor gets mentioned various numbers of times during that segment, as opposed to just the billboard at the top of the segment.
But that kind of sounds like a one-time deal, because if it happens in an interview, you're not going to do that same interview over and over again week to week.
No,
so that's a one-time deal.
No, but different sponsors can have different people. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of country stars endorse a lot of products. You know, like Scotty McCreery is endorsing Bojangles.
Right.
So Bojangles could buy a segment, do an in-show placement, have me interview Scotty McCreery and have him talk about Bojangles and, you know, whatever. So you know, there's not really a shortage of companies who hire celebrities to endorse their products that would like to have them on the show. And because Scotty's music is relevant to country listeners, he would fit, because Kenny Chesney's music is relevant and new, and now he would fit with the format of the show, as opposed to somebody like Randy Travis, who doesn't have anything new out right now, who's, you know, made his big mark in the mid-90s. You know, he wouldn't really fit the format because people aren't really listening to him right now.
All right.
Well, the national advertiser can also buy sponsorship on the website. They can place ads on the website. One of the cool things on the website that listeners can sign up for is the Country Club, which will get them an email blast twice a week of country artist news. And they can buy placements in those email blasts where their banner is at the top of the thing or on the side or you know, where, you know, there could be several different ad placements in there. And of course those are you would sell that on a monthly basis. You're going to, there's two a week, but you got to buy a whole month.
Okay. How much a month? That's a banner ad?
Yeah, it would be a banner ad and an email that would go out to all the listeners who have subscribed to your newsletter.
And it really doesn't matter. They can do a banner ad on your website.
They can
separately from the banner ad in the newsletter, or
is that a
dual thing?
No. It's all a la carte.
Okay, so the banner ad on the e-newsletter, how much are you looking
for? I'm thinking, you know, and bear in mind that all this is after the first year and a half, where there's big, you know, where there's a fair number of affiliates. Mm-hmm. But you know, $3,500. You know, a month for a banner ad in the email newsletter mailer for the top one, and then maybe, you know, $2,000 a month for one of the smaller ones down the column, and lower priced each time you get down to a lower spot in the, you know.
And you don't think that's high because you're only paying $200 a month on All Access?
Well, what I was paying for on All Access was not in a mailer that went to program directors. It was on a page full of other voiceover talent, and I was at the bottom of that page. So it was $200 a week. No, it was $200 a month. But it, you know, now when I advertised one time, I called to find out what it would cost to advertise in that mailer, and it was $3,500 a month to be at the top position.
So that's on the e-newsletter. So
yeah.
I guess, is there only a certain amount of slots open?
Yeah, there'd be the banner and four sidebar ads. And of course, the further down the page you get with the, you know, if you buy the bottom sidebar ad, then, you know.
So there's a total of six on the page?
Yeah.
All right. And so I guess moving on to the banner ads on the website.
There could be placements on the website where it could rotate through different banners at the top of the site in the sidebars. Each page could have a sponsorship that would run. There's a lot of ways to monetize that on the website.
So at least 20 slots?
I would say 20 is fair site-wide.
And what is the price for that?
I have no idea. Haven't gotten there yet.
You got to guess. Don't overshoot.
Okay, $200 a month for the smaller ads on specific pages, and you know, $3,500 a month for the one at the top of the site, or even more. Yeah, well, I went over, you know, the show is segmented, and each segment has kind of a theme about it, you know.
Well, the problem is that you've gotten a two-hour show now instead of a one-hour.
Well, yeah, and what that allows me to do is it allows me to break it up where instead of every single segment having to be some drawn-out, heavily written thing, I can play current music that will also attract the listener, because if it's... If I've got four segments in an hour, and each segment only plays one song around one artist, that's going to get boring pretty quick.
Right, but you can't exactly stretch that 1 hour programming over 2 hours. You'd have to add at least two or three more things in it, wouldn't you?
So what I need to do, so what now with the 2 hours, it's going to be the same amount of artist interviews and information, long form stuff, but spread out over 2 hours, and the rest of the time it'll be current charting music and some recurrent music and you know, some tidbits of information about the artist and teases for the website. You know, things like you know, Dierks Bentley has a new album out. He's performing, blah blah blah. You know, go to the website bigcountryusa.com to find out more about, you know, his tour and when he's coming to see you. You know, and again, corralling the listeners over to the website where we can generate revenue that way as well. Because, you know, when you sell sponsorships to a website, you've got to have a certain, just like the radio stations, you have to have a certain number of web visitors, of hits, if you will, to build value in those banner ads. If you don't have anybody coming to your website, then it's not worth anything for them to be there. So again, using terrestrial radio to lead people to the website, and then also for the listener. There will be apps written for the iPhone and the Android that they'll be able to interact with the show. They'll be able to listen to podcasts. They'll be able to listen to interviews. They'll be able to send messages to us. They'll be able to record messages with their voice and send them to us through some new technology that's out there. Those applications can also be monetized. When they select to listen to an interview, there can be a commercial that runs, you know, ahead of it. Just like YouTube. If you go to YouTube now, when anytime you click a video, you get a 10-second commercial before you get to see your video. Well, we can do a 15 to 20-second commercial for whatever sponsor before the podcast gets, you know, before you can listen to the podcast.
So that's another way that the national advertiser...
There's another way to monetize it right there.
And what are you looking at that one?
I don't have any idea. Don't even have a guess. Couldn't begin to tell you. But there's the app itself can have a banner ad on it. You know, when you're in the app, it can have an ad at the top of it. You know, and then there's the other way to monetize is doing the text club where, you know, they text to opt in where it costs them 99 cents a month on their phone bill. And you send them information, and you can send offers from your sponsors to them. You can send coupons that they can take into the store and have scanned in the store right to their smartphone, you know, with the content that they signed up for. So there's no shortage of ways to monetize this project. It really just entirely comes down to how many people we can get the show in front of. And that's where terrestrial radio is a very small percentage of the revenue that's generated, that can be generated by this. You know, commercials in the show are a very small part of the income that this show can have. You know, something else that's very popular too, that national companies like to do is when something is very popular on Twitter, they like to pay for tweets to be had with their name in it. So Big Country USA can, you know, in the middle of some tweets, can go and say, you know, Wrangler jeans on sale this weekend, 15% coupon, you know, with this code or whatever. You know, there are many, many, many ways to monetize this program. And to be honest, the IP portion, the web portion of this program can literally generate millions of dollars a year. It can generate millions a month.
So is that information going to go on your website for the national advertisers to be able to look up and see what your packages are? Could entail? So they can say, okay, we want tweets, we want this, and we want that?
No, that's what the sales rep's going to do.
Is he aware of all that?
Well, yeah, because it was, you know, he's the one that educated me on most of it. No.
Who are you going with? Tell me a little bit about them.
His name is Brian. I don't remember his last name off the top of my head, but he has made a fortune in the Western industry, actually in the rodeo industry, dealing with Western wear clients and having them to sponsor. One of his biggest projects was that he... he sold rodeo tickets. Now, I don't mean he sold tickets to people to go to the rodeo. He sold tickets to the people that held the rodeos to print, you know, he printed the tickets for them and had ads pre-put on these tickets so that he got paid according to how many tickets that he was able to have passed out eventually to the end user. So the rodeo, the event, would be like the radio station in this case, who we're giving you these tickets to get, you know, to sell to your, you know, to your people, And because we're doing that, you know, we've got an ad on there. That's how we get paid, because Wrangler wants to have, you know, 4 million tickets printed this year with their logo on it. That's what they're paying us for. So he made incredible amounts of money doing that. Having said that, he doesn't know much about the broadcast industry. So what I know and what he knows, when we come together and share our information, you know, it's a big deal. You know, he already has a contact list in his Rolodex. He's got the names and numbers of the decision makers at all the big Western wear companies.
So that means that he needs to be made aware of what packages can be offered because of your broadcast show.
Mm-hmm.
So he can sell it. So that needs to be typed up for him.
Yep, he's aware of in-show placement. He's aware of many different facets of it. You had to ask me. I can't remember.
I need that.
It's something promotions. I forget exactly what it is. But anyway.
Write that down. I need that.
I will. So he's very optimistic and very excited to get to work on this so that we can, you know, we can bring this out to the forefront and really start generating some revenue off of it.
Okay. I think we should probably cut it there, babe.
Okay.